Last week, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot continued her purge of Chicago police and firefighters in a labor dispute. Those who don't want to comply with her COVID mandate and take vaccines they don't want or think they don't need, since many of them have already had COVID, and don't want to report their private health status to City Hall. It's a labor dispute. But, you know, news happens as it always does, and three Chicago police officers were shot. One survived being shot in the face by an alleged kidnapper, and two others accidentally shot by another officer in a struggle with murder suspects and Lions. Indiana is welcoming Chicago's first responders to move there, and suburban police chiefs have turned down Mayor Lightfoot's request to send suburban cops to help her. Do you blame them? These chiefs know that Chicago and Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox wouldn't have their officers' backs, so they're not setting them down. And the barking voices among left-wing activists increased, demanding that she fire all the cops who balk. Although, aren't these the same people who were once publicly opposed to orange-haired authoritarianism? But I guess they're not opposed to woke authoritarianism from Mayor Wokefoot, right? So I guess it all depends on what party is involved. And I wonder what Lightfoot leaves behind as she breaks first responders, as she uses these theatrics to distract from her inability to handle the spike of violent crime or improve the schools. It's all a distraction, and she leaves a broken city. We'll talk about this with Alderman Raymond Lopez, the 15th Ward Alderman of the Southwest Side, who's been fighting a rather lonely battle with street gangs armed with long guns terrorizing his neighborhoods. Jeff Carlin is here as always, co-host, friend, executive producer at WGN Radio. Jeff is the best radio producer in Chicago. And I'm John Cass, with the voice of a nightingale, husband, father, columnist at johncassnews.com, a conservative voice in a sea of print media liberal milk. And where are you? Where are you exactly on this boulevard of broken dreams, with the mayor breaking the city on the rocks of her vengeance, as the city prepares for a battle of races over the remapping of Chicago's 50 wards? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
We're talking to Alderman Ray Lopez, and he's asking me about what I put on Facebook. I got the third shot, you know, the booster shot. So I'm a little under the weather, and Betty made me some beautiful Chirino Meselino.
Which is?
Roast, it's pork stew with celery.
Ah.
Well, I have to say, it reminded me of like a goulash or a quesada de puerco dish, which would be like the pork stew. So I knew I wasn't that far off.
Yeah, you were quite on, because in your domestic life, I'm sure you have to cook too, right? So we want to eat. We have to cook. So speaking of which, and I want to eat in the city without getting shot. Where do I go? Where do I go?
Sadly, you go to the suburbs. Because it seems that there's nowhere safe in this city right now.
under Lori Lightfoot's leadership, whether it's back of the yards, Streeterville, uptown, you're either going to get shot at, carjacked, who knows? And with no officer coming to your assistance because they've been so short-staffed and now being sent home for failing to oblige by her arbitrary mandate.
Alderman, how do you view the latest theatrics where she played chicken last week, then she backed off a little bit, then she got a judge, a friendly judge, to shut up John Catanzara, who's kind of acting like he's right out of central casting, made for her, you know, as her foil. I guess they both have a little Trump in them. And then now she's going through the ranks, first at headquarters, soft stripping cops of their guns and badges if they don't comply with her mandate. And soon she'll be in the SWAT, you know, she'll be in the specialized units, and later in the districts, where that's where most people see police, in the districts, if they're there in the districts. And what do you make of all of it?
Well, you know, this is a cluster on so many levels. I don't even know where you begin. I think you start with the most obvious, that I don't think any of this has to do with COVID at this point. I don't think this has to do with keeping our officers safe. I don't think this has to do with keeping the public safe. I think this has to do with the mayor and her ego getting into a battle of wits with John Catanzara and his ego. Lost in all of this is, why weren't we talking about getting our employees vaccinated several months ago when the first vaccine became available? That should have been discussed with labor and labor lawyers several months ago and hammered out a long time ago, and not now at the 11th hour for some artificial mandate drawn in drawing a line in the sands simply because the mayor needs something else to talk about, following the fact that the public opinion swung so far upwards for police following the murder of Ella French that she now finds herself having to try and tamper down support for police with this artificial crisis she's concocted. Our officers, our districts already have been struggling throughout this pandemic to maintain beat integrity, to maintain safety in our neighborhoods. Policies that she and David Brown have put together, such as pulling district officers half a dozen per watch at a time on a daily basis, just so that they could have 1,000-man citywide team that really doesn't do anything, has put our city at risk, puts our residents at risk, our businesses at risk. And we see those headlines every day. But right now, with all of this going on between Lightfoot and the police, you know, she is trying to flex her muscles on a police union and violate their contract, violate their right to arbitrate any new policy or rule changes that impact their members. And she's trying to force that down their throats, all under the smiling eyes of other unions, most notably the CFL, who are remaining silent on what clearly is a union-busting attempt in a union-loving town.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the lay of the land. I mean, I don't know about the idea of the distraction. I get that. She's, you know, everybody's looking for a way to distract from something or make them look great. I don't think this mayor thinks that far ahead. And so I think we caught up in the idea that, you know, that this is all of a sudden happening. But she says that there were negotiations that the union didn't take part in an honest nature. I mean, but I haven't seen anybody refute that. I mean, what is your take on that?
Well, she's a liar, plain and simple. There were many unions who were negotiating, including FOP, including, you know, she can say the FOP wasn't in the room, and that's because she locked the door on them. If she doesn't allow them to be a part of the negotiating team, then of course they're not going to be in the room. And that gives her the opportunity to say, oh, well, they weren't there to try and hammer a deal out. Well, let's talk about the unions that were in the room trying to hammer a deal out, who did think that disciplinary actions were off the table, who did think that they were negotiating in good faith with the mayor, only to find out last Friday that that was not the case. Many of our employee groups that are non-FOP or fire department related exist under what they call COPE. It's like a collective bargaining group for all citywide labor agreements and union members. All of them were at the table for a month with the mayor's team. All of them were making headway, including the police department, who thought that all disciplinary actions were going to be off the table by the deadline, only to find out on Friday the 15th that no, the mayor has changed her mind and she wants all disciplinary actions available to all employee work groups, regardless of union. That's forced the Federation of Labor to issue a statement Friday evening at 10 o'clock stating that they were no longer in support of the mayor's mandate because it basically went against what they believed they were bargaining in good faith towards, which was not to have disciplinary actions, including termination against their members. They were all duped. The only ones who were loud about it and not afraid to show that this was going on was the FOP. And they ended up being treated the same way as everybody else, which was that if you weren't in the registry by Friday, the 15th, you were facing repercussions.
Let me get this straight to you, because like, I mean, the union saying, you know, that reporting is saying that a lot of cops are showing up and then they're being told that, hey, all you have to do is fill out the thing and or go home and not get paid. And I've talked to a couple of cops and they've been telling me that, hey, you know, I'm going to go and fight this to make this a pain in the ass, but I'm ultimately going to cave, you know, when it comes push comes to shove, because I can't give up my pay. I can't, you know, hamper myself like that. So that makes me feel like this is strictly a, you know, a flexing of muscles between two groups of people, the union and the mayor. And it has really nothing to do with anything other than that. I mean, the idea that this thing fell apart, they weren't involved, they were being made to look bad. So am I right in my reading that this is nothing up to do with safety or policy or anything like that? This is a much the way the CTU has haggled and hampered Mayor Lightfoot throughout her tenure. It's just about who has the biggest swinging. I mean, really? I mean, that's what this is coming down to.
It's a pissing match, to be perfectly honest. That's all this is at this point. And the mayor took a very different stance. Let's be clear. She's taken a very different stance with CTU and their concerns over mandates and testing. She allowed CPS to provide free testing to teachers and employees. She allowed them to have a much more collaborative process. She allowed none of that when it came to city employees, and she particularly allowed none of that when it came to the police and fire. She wants them to pay for their own testing. She doesn't want the city to have to pay it, even though it's a very different offer for the Board of Education employees. Why? Because she knows that if she treated the CTU the way she treated the FOP and the fire department and all the city employees, but particularly the police, the CTU would have walked out of the building. They would have went on strike, because now they have that option from the new law signed by Governor Pritzker saying that they can strike not only for matters of contract dispute, but for health and safety. Police don't get that option. They have to show up regardless whether or not they have a contract, regardless of whether or not it's being violated, whether or not it's they are being crapped on by the administration. They have to show up no matter what. And they were not just showing up and being told, hey, come fill out this portal. They were being ordered to do so by superior officers. And if they refused, they found a higher up officer to order them to do it. That is not cooperation. That is not working together. That is intimidation and browbeating and bullying to the nth degree just to get your point across. Because when fighting the police, this is the only time that the mayor feels emasculated against a work group that can't strike and can't walk off the job.
Is it a man thing? I mean, I don't get it with her. I really don't. Because if she talks about public safety, But then she's the same one who re-endorsed Kim Fox, state's attorney, for re-election. How do you justify, oh, I'm all about public safety and you have to get the shot, but she endorses Kim Fox?
You know, the mayor tries to live in a very differentiated universe where her actions don't equal the total of her tenure. It's as though she tries to box in that endorsement as something that was old news and happened in a different reality and has no impact on our current situation. But it does have an impact, John, and you know this, and we've seen where I don't remember a time, and I'm sure you don't either, when a mayor endorsed a candidate that went so rogue so quickly against them, what that mayor's voiced policies were. I don't remember anyone turning on Rahm Emanuel or Daley in complete opposition after getting endorsed for their reelection on any particular topic. I just don't remember that. So that shows us that her endorsements, one, don't last past the election and have no influence on anyone past the election. So that you're putting people and supporting people into office who have no loyalties to you, to your thinking, or to your constituencies.
She had sent David Brown out to criticize Fox and the judges, and then she pulls him back. She pulls his leash, right? Yanks his leash, and he slows down, and then she goes and endorses him. And I'll tell you something. This was a private conversation, but I guess it's pertinent now. She told me she didn't think Fox was a good state's attorney and was not going to endorse her. And I said, well, you better not, because, you know, she's catch and release, for God's sake. This is causing great problems. Every day you see stories about people on with multiple gun cases allegedly shooting someone else while on bond. And then she goes and endorses Fox. And Ray, you know, there's one thing in Chicago politics. You could hate a guy. You could like a guy. It doesn't really, you could be best. You could have friends, common friends or not. The only thing that matters is when you give your word, is it good? And if you don't, if you get a reputation of your word is not good, you're done. And she was done with me. That's how it happened. So I was done with her. I mean, I just couldn't believe it, Ray. Not that I'm anybody, you know, you can't break word to me, but it's just the callousness of it and the capriciousness, which is what I see reflected here in the frustration of aldermen, not only conservative aldermen, but centrists like you and even some of the progressives with her handling of this thing. She's all over the map. And I guess the question is, what does she leave behind? Because I don't see her, you know, I don't see her winning re-election. So what does she leave behind?
Well, I think first off, you're 100% correct. Your word is your bond. And if that's all you have in this business. And, you know, she will say whatever she has to say in a moment to get through a moment, just to get through the end of the day. Unfortunately, left, right, or center, everyone is taking note of how many IOUs she's left in the wake of her presence. And we know that no one's going to ever cash them in because they mean nothing to her. All she's trying to do is survive, and she's in sheer survival mode right now just to get through the end of her term. You know, what does Chicago look like? What does the mayor's office look like on May 20th, 2023, when our new mayor takes office? You're going to see a very damaged city. I think Mayor Lightfoot's term has done more damage to this city than COVID or civil unrest combined. She has left us a city that's flailing in the wind, more divided than ever. A government that is completely inept at this point, operating on three cylinders.
trying to get by. A school board that is no longer responsible to the mayor. A police department that is so broken emotionally that the morale is going to need a huge shot in the arm just to bring it halfway to where it should be by the time she's done kicking them in their teeth. It's going to be a challenge. And all of that will happen under the enormous financial pressures from her 4 years of horrible fiscal mismanagement in borrowing to hide just how bad the financial situation is, and putting scoop and toss on steroids so that everything is kicked down till she's no longer in office. That's what the next mayor is going to have to deal with and contend with. And not just the mayor, because I'm sure Lori and Amy and the family will be gone after that. But us Chicagoans, those of us who live here and die here, are going to have to contend with how do we put this back together. And it's not going to be an easy task for anybody. Anyone who thinks that some slick-heeled politician is going to say a few commercials and have everything all right is clearly mistaken, because if they don't tell you how bad it is, then that means either A, they don't know, or B, they fail to accept that and are just going to do more of the same, which is get the job just so they could punt the problems onto somebody else, as we've seen time and time again.
Ray, Alderman Lopez, you're old school, but you're not old as me. I'm probably older than anybody alive in politics, right? And still, I remember the television show of my youth about integration and it's a liberal tolerance and a white basketball player from the Chicago Bulls gets injured and coaches an inner city basketball team. It was when I was a kid playing ball myself. And I love that show. It was called The White Shadow. And now we have The White Shadow reinvented by Barack Obama, by David Axelrod, Peter Cunningham, all the crew, the Rahm Emanuel guys, the money guys, Sachs, everybody, Penny Pritzker, they're all Jobs's widow. They're all backing Arne Duncan. And they're rolling them out. Now, they trotted them out the other day at the City Club of Chicago, which, you know, some reporters thought he would announce. I guess they never covered political campaigns. You don't do that. You say you're not thinking about running, and you have all the people. Well, then you have reporters not, you know, asking you, will you run? Will you run? Like as if they're begging. And you don't have to answer questions about what your books look like. And in Chicago cred or whatever else you've done, you don't have to weigh in on on Lightfoot and the cops. But what do you think of the White Shadow? Is he being positioned? Am I completely wrong? Do I not know politics? What do you see?
No, I think you have a very astute read on the political landscape. And I'm not just saying that because we share a love for the same food.
Right, like Chirino Meselino. Yeah.
Right. I think there's definitely an effort. We've seen it with, as you said, with Axelrod saying, oh, now is the time to declare a state of emergency.
Right.
Yeah. You know, just so happens to be 12 months before or 10 months before petitions go out for the next municipal election. I guess it wasn't a state of emergency in 2020 when people were rioting and looting and destroying our city, not once, but twice. We see people putting out op-eds, like from Susan Lee, the former deputy mayor for public safety, who still works for Chicago Cred, and who's responsible for being the architect of gangs protecting their neighborhoods and shooting and hunting down Black people during the civil unrest on behalf of the Lightfoot administration, you know, saying, oh, we need programs like, coincidentally, Chicago Cred to make this go away. I don't think any of that is by sheer coincidence. And it's unfortunate if that is the case, that the architects of some of the madness that we saw over the last 18 months are now the same ones trying to be our savior as well. That would be akin to firemen burning down a house just so that they could come and be the heroes to put the fire out. And if that is the case, then I think then that will expose itself in short order, because we've seen what has gone on in our city. And there are plenty of would-be politicians and political hacks who I'm sure are thinking about running for mayor. But all of them need to figure out, are they doing this for themselves? Are they doing this for this city? And right now, I don't think that we have a clear answer on that.
You have to figure that out, too, because you've been mentioned as a candidate here on this program, in my column.
Many times by texters and callers after he's on WGN radio with Anna or Steve.
Yeah, I've heard it once or twice. But look, I will say this to everyone listening to your podcast, that I don't think there's an alderman alive that has never thought about it, because we always have the possibility of becoming mayor if something were to happen to any sitting mayor. Personally, for me, I have to evaluate if my ward is in a good spot, because I promised my residents I wouldn't leave until the work was done. But I also know that Chicago can do better. And there's going to be a lot of challenges that are facing our city, as I've talked about. And we have to see if, as a city, I know what kind of alderman I am. A very brutally honest alderman. As you know, John, when we were on Rockwell, and I had to have the police with me because gangbangers didn't like my brutal honesty. You know, is Chicago ready for that kind of honesty, to know just how bad it is, or how what it's going to take to get us from point A to point B so we could put all of this nonsense behind us? I don't know yet. I think that's a conversation that we have to have. But I think whoever becomes mayor needs to be able to address these issues head on. Don't dance around them. Don't sugarcoat them. This is Chicago, after all. We can handle it if we ever just got the facts and the truth right out the gate, and take it from there.
Alderman, yes, I agree. And yes, you're one of those people who have been mentioned, and you offered a reasonable answer. But this thing with Duncan has been going on for months. And I just started writing about it a few weeks ago on johncastnews.com. Ding. And I'm waiting for other people to, you know, I don't want to just hog all the soup. I want to see, do others want to have a sip? But they don't seem to want to or mention it. This gives me concern about the media, but maybe that's just me, Jeff. Do you think it's
just me? I don't think it's just you. I think there's an effort. I think there's an effort not to bring his name up, because like you said, the moment you bring up his name, or any name for that matter, the moment that they say that they're in, now they have to weigh in and have an opinion on every single thing that she's doing, good or bad. And they have to start providing answers for themselves as what they would do, or what she's doing is wrong or good or whatever. And most of your cookie cutter political factory candidates don't want to be in a position to be on record saying yes or no. They all like dealing in that amorphous middle where they can't be pegged to a position so that it can't come back to bite them in the rear at any point during a campaign.
Man,
they don't want to be leaders and make a decision.
Yeah, leaders
want to be candidates.
I'm going to ask Ray on the record here right now. You know what? I'd like to. I can't pay you, but I would like to have 850 words on the subject. And I put it on my website, just your analysis of the dance, you know, not a partisan thing, but
yeah,
the analysis of the dance that's going on. It's interesting. Ray,
it's a deal.
All right.
Cool.
And I will pay you with the pork stew of your choice or whatever.
Hey, we'll make it a trade, John. You bring me your dish, I'll bring you ours, and then...
All right, good. Now...
Excellent.
I have to ask you, what's going on with the remap? Because you know, the life of a mayor or an alderman is never easy. And we're going through this controversy and with the police and people being shot and half the city moving to out as fast as they can. And now we're going to have a racial fight. Latinos versus whites versus blacks over spoils of ward remap. How's that going to work?
Well, I think definitely the Latino caucus appears to be outworking the black caucus and trying to put together a coalition of aldermen to create and pass a map. It has to be done by December 1st, I believe. And I think that they are pushing harder to bring more people together to come up with something that works for everyone. I can't say the same for the Black Caucus, which even though it started with 20 members, started the game with 20 members in the city council, has yet to try to reach out to anyone other than their own group. And as you know, you need 26 votes to pass anything, 36 to be veto majority proof, and 41 to make sure that there's absolutely no referendum. So there's going to be some work to be had. But I genuinely think that this was a missed opportunity for Lightfoot and Alderman, for that matter, to really reform how we do this. I believe having an independent group draw compact and contiguous wards and letting the chips fall where they may is a great way to try to balance out the city council. I think that we could have had a discussion on how do we do that with regards to the Voting Rights Act and all of the measures protected therein. But I think we could have had this discussion to create something that doesn't look like it's incumbent protection. And I think that we're still going to see some level and degree of incumbent protection in this map, I'm certain, which I think is a lost opportunity for everyday residents. But more importantly, it's a lost opportunity to have balance in the city council. Look at my ward, for example. My voters are about split between African-Americans and Latinos, which doesn't give me the luxury of being solidly fist in the air pro-black or pro-Latino. I have to be one who's willing to represent everybody if I want to stay in office. And I think that is a beautiful characteristic that is missing in many of the wards that are drawn. I think many of my colleagues would serve this city better if they had to deal with multicultural wards or multi-dynamic demographics so that they couldn't just be all or nothing one way or the other just based on race. If they had to be mindful of everyone out of fear of alienating any segment of their voting population.
Ray, but the 34th Ward, Kerry Austin. I remember Lem and Wilson. I go back to Wilson Frost. Okay, that's, you know, Methuselah. And hogs get fat, pigs get fat, and hogs get slaughtered.
Yep.
Right. And I know that they don't want to give up a ward, but there's like 11,000 people in it, or 15, something like that. And then on the south side, even far, you know, southwest side, the 19th Ward doesn't want to give up its, you know, Kelly Green, stronghold to wards to the east and to the west, or there is no west, but wards to the east. So you got people fighting for their personal fortunes and their personal power, and they're going to be using race to cover it up and to, you know, roil everybody up.
Well, using race to roil people up is nothing new for this city.
It's one of our pastimes.
I mean,
right? We're the champions. The champion. Yeah.
Yeah. Ray, I got to ask you too. Did you? We were talking about this a little earlier. I mean, it was last week, but the violence and the stuff downtown. You mentioned, kind of alluded to it earlier, I think. But this idea that people in neighborhoods, and this is what I keep hearing, the phrase that pays, if you will, for the last few months is, well, this stuff never used to happen in my neighborhood. This never happened in here. And I got to ask you, what do we do about that?
Well, I think that's the interesting thing. I think that's Lightfoot's only success is that she has brought she has shared violence equitably and fairly throughout the entire city of Chicago now.
Wow, that's a good point.
And to your point, Jeff, there are many neighborhoods that have never seen a guy running down the street with an AK-47. But those neighborhoods are now few and far between because we have seen the expansion and explosion of violence outside of those neighborhoods that traditionally have had to deal with these issues, many of which I represent, like the ones I represent. And you're seeing it in other neighborhoods now that are used to just being quiet, hipster-filled, gentrified neighborhoods where everyone just sits around in a sweater drinking $17 coffees.
Cafe now Americano. Cafe Americano. Listen, Ray, when will the city council just stand up and say enough is enough, Mayor? We're taking over. This is a strong council, weak mayor form of government. It changed under the Kelly Nash machine and the Richard J. Daley machine. He loved the city. He was the mayor. He listened to people, and he never would have let what's happening happen now. When's the city council going to stand up and say enough? It's done. You're done. You're not going to break police unions. You're not going to break firefighters' unions. It's done.
John, I think the city council is suffering from Stockholm syndrome, to be perfectly honest. They are so used to being held in the warm, loving embrace of a mayor who would just tell them what to do that asking them now not to follow the chief lemming off the cliff is almost an impossibility. There have been plenty of times where myself, Alderman Beal, Napolitano, and others have tried to rail the troops and say, look, none of this makes sense. Look at some of the ordinances about cannabis, some of the ordinances about emergency powers. You know, when you can get someone like me and someone like Carlos Ramirez Rosa and others who are broadly different political stripes to come together and say, this is wrong. We're still fighting against that block that just doesn't know how to express publicly what they know privately. And many aldermen, sadly, will say in private, yeah, you know, we know she's wrong or we know this is bad, but, you know, I can't say nothing. Why? What is stopping you? What is stopping them from...
Now, if it's not running the city anymore, you're not going to get a knock on the door from some Chinatown, you know.
And not just that, but Lightfoot doesn't have $10 million in the bank to run someone against you anyway. So what is stopping you from standing on your own 2 feet other than the fact that you've never done it? And I think I would say you might see some of that independence flare up in about 11 months when we find out whether or not she's circulating petitions to run for re-election. But God only knows how much further Lori Lightfoot is going to send this city in 11 months, because it seems to me that just when we think we can't go any lower, Lori takes us 10 feet further deeper down the rabbit hole.
And that's a place that you should only go into when you have pearl onions and stewed tomatoes.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Ray, thanks so much for spending so much time with us. And I meant it about the, I'd like to, you know, I mean, if it's a elect Ray Lopez for anything piece, I don't know if I'd be that happy about it. But if it's a piece about the dance, yeah, I'd be interested to hear to have your perspective shared with the readers of the best news site in Chicago, John Cassidy.
Only true news.
Only true news. No Chumbalone Zone, baby. All right.
Amen. Thanks, Alderman. We appreciate your time.
Thanks,
all right, Alderman. Gentlemen.
See you, buddy. All right. I've got a temperature now. I checked my temperature. It's going up. I'm achy. You know, I think I've got that little COVID reflux, whatever it is, on the third shot.
Sure.
And there's no, Betty's not here. She's working and there's no chicken soup. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
And no leftover stew, huh?
No, I'm going to have some.
Oh, yeah. Good. There you go. That's better than chicken soup.
Chirino meselino, of course.
Exactly.
For Alderman Raymond Lopez of the 15th Ward, and I've seen him personally confront gangbangers without cops around him. Yes, he gets criticized by Lori Lightfoot and her minions, but, you know, he does stand for his neighborhood. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer at WGN Radio, my friend, and the best radio producer in Chicago, and bar none. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, chief bottle washer at johncassnews.com. Join us again next time, won't you? To walk with us on the Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
The No Chum Alone Zone. And John, quick note, we won't be having a podcast next week.
Jeff, you just took all the you know.
I know. I pulled your gusto, the wind out of your sails.
Pulled my gusto, but we won't have a podcast next week, as Jeff says, because, you know.
I'm going away on a mini little honeymoon a year later.
That's sweet, Jeff. That's great. It's about time you went to Christina on the honeymoon.
Exactly.
And if you want Betty and I to come along, and we'll make you grilled fish for you every night.
Oh, my God. It'd be fantastic.
No, I think you should go do this on your own.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So, on that note, from the No Chum Alone Zone, see you again next time. Damn it. On the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.